The Blast from Our Past Network.
Johnny, this is Troppin. Where the hell are you? John, come in.
Murdoch.
He's here.
Rambo, this is Murdoch. We're glad you're alive.
Where are you? Give us your position and we'll come to pick you up.
Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Talking Back.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Talking Back. This week on the show, Rambo returns to the jungles of Vietnam on a mission to infiltrate an enemy base and rescue the American POWs still held captive there. Yes, it's time for Rambo First Blood Part 2. Dean, welcome.
Thanks, Tim. Heck yeah, I'm pumped for that. That sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Yeah, it sounds better than just taking pictures of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Great plot item there.
We pulled you out of prison.
The camera.
To snap some photos.
Yeah. He didn't even take that shit with him.
No.
He's like, camera? He did not. Don't need that.
Don't need it.
Don't need that.
No thanks.
As we mentioned in our Rambo 1 episode, excuse me, when we mentioned in our First Blood episode.
Thank you, Tim.
This is a franchise that neither of us had seen before.
Nope.
And damn, did we love First Blood.
And oh, yeah. Great movie.
Determined to make our way through this franchise full of guns and knives.
Yeah.
And death.
And mud.
And mud. And explosions. And killing Viet Cong sons of bitches.
Lots
and
of that.
Squashing Russians who don't make sense why they're in the movie.
No.
And all sorts of your own team turning against you.
Wow, there's so many villains in this movie.
Not having anybody to count on except Troutman, who's going to bat for you at every turn, and who probably give his life for you, and then walking off into the distance at the end alone again forever.
Yeah, after making just a great heartfelt point right at the end, trying to secure that Oscar nomination right at the last few moments.
But falling so flat.
So flat.
Compared to
not
the
even close.
Movie.
Not even close.
Didn't even care.
Didn't even care at that point.
Didn't even care. Dean.
I was so confused of like what, like who I was happy to see and who I wasn't happy to see, because like everybody's the villain. Every single person that's on screen is a villain.
No. There's three non-villains.
And right, then three people.
And a bunch of POWs who might be better
them.
Off just dying.
Yeah. Yeah. But like if they got their senses about them, I'm sure they were about to turn to villainy.
Maybe. What did you think of this movie?
I thought that it is a little bit different than the first movie, but that's what I was expecting. Like, I know this franchise got into like gunning just like classic 80s action, and that's what it was. And I liked it. I thought it was good 80s action. I thought it was like a fun idea to get him out of prison and, you know, back into the jungle. If I came off First Blood and was like, all right, time for the second one, then I might have been a little disappointed that they just went full action. But kind of knowing that going in, I had a great time.
I was so confused by this movie. I didn't know if it was good and I liked it or if it was terrible.
Right. Well,
after the first viewing, I was like, it was one of those. Like, I don't know what to feel.
Yeah.
I think I'm leaning on the terrible side.
That's fine. That's what it is, really.
I had a fun time on the first viewing. And then normally second viewings of movies are better because you pick up these things that you missed. That didn't happen. My second viewing, I liked it less than the first. Which
you lost more plot. It fell out of your head.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, I thought there was more here, but there's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just made me feel like there's nothing really going on in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but that's
like,
okay.
I don't think it's, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's like a top tier 80s action movie, but I had a fun time. I think there's some fun stuff going on. Yeah. You
know, I also had fun. Okay. I think it's not a very good movie, but you can have fun with those movies.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good follow up to Rambo, to First Blood.
Good try.
There's nothing new or like all that inventive going on in this movie, but you know, it was fun. It was a good time. I think it's missing the heart of the first one. But man, I really, again, this is another movie I'm so mad I missed as a kid because this is perfect for like a 12-year-old. This is the perfect movie. Like, if you're out there watching Commando, if you're watching Total Recall, if you're watching movies like that, this would have been right up your alley. And I would have loved watching this with my friends. But for some reason, I always thought it was like way too violent for some reason. I guess maybe it was the parents telling me that. Like, oh, no, you can't watch Rambo. Right. There's way too much murder. I mean, Commando had way more. I mean, this movie had a lot of murder, but I think Commando had more or the same amount of murder as this movie. So I'm sorry that I missed this as a child, but
yeah, same. I would have loved this as a kid. This would have been right up my alley, and which would have given me more enjoyment this time around. There's still a chunk of a Rambo franchise movie that I've seen on TV that I've sat down on Saturday and watched. I still haven't hit that chunk. So it's still, I thought it was going to be in this movie, but it definitely wasn't. So it's still to come somewhere. I think that if I watched this as a kid, then I would have had a lot more love. But I found myself very lost in like the bad guy's plot. Like, he definitely sent the wrong man in for the job for what he wanted to accomplish. He should have like looked up on what Rambo was all about, because he would have found out that he probably was gonna fail in the picture taking he wanted to happen. So yeah, I just found myself lost, and if I had watched it as a kid, I wouldn't give a shit about that. You know, I wouldn't even care. I'd just be like, yeah, whatever. It just reminds me of these fun scenes. So that one that missed us, and probably get a little more enjoyment if it didn't.
Well, he sent Rambo because his computers told him to.
Yeah, but like, why? Like, that's the wrong... This was going to happen. Did his computers not tell him this was going to happen? This is obviously going to happen.
I love in 85 them trying to squeeze computers into this movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That was funny. Like, Rambo gets selected as one of the few people who can complete this mission. So let's get him. Let's get him for it.
Like, yeah.
What computer is this? What is this computer crunching? This is my question. What is it? What numbers is it crunching to determine who's the best at doing some reconnaissance work in Vietnam?
But, like, doing reconnaissance work not well. Like, he's supposed to not find anything.
Well, yeah,
he's supposed
to be
bad at it.
I mean, we'll get to it, but it's because they thought there was nothing there.
Okay, right? Yeah.
So they weren't expecting him to find anything.
Yeah, so they really did want the best for the job so he could go in and photograph nothing.
They wanted the best so that they could say, we sent in the best, and he found nothing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, the Viet Cong, they were moving from camp to camp to camp. So while they thought this camp had nobody, they were right about that. But what the Viet Cong were doing, where they were just moving around. So
right.
when the Americans like checked that camp, there was nobody there. And then this time when Rambo went, there were people there because of the shifting of locations.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Now, this movie loves explosions. I'll give it that. They fucking blow up everything. Everything imaginable. They blow up a waterfall. Great. I've never seen that before in my life. The movie
you never will again, Tim.
I wish I would like to. That was very beautiful. The movie literally starts on an explosion.
Yeah.
You open on a cliff and it blows up in 1 second. So I'll give them, they went for it, man. They went for it.
They went for it. Like, I wasn't sure on that opening if it was supposed to be like a studio logo, because like it started immediately. Like the movie did a studio logo. And then it just started. And as it was like panning and like there's explosion and it was like panning down from the cliff, I was like, is this going to turn into some studio logo I've never seen before? No. Oh, no, it's the movie. OK, continue. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this movie was released in 1985 with a budget of $25 million, and it would go on to gross $300 million.
What?
Holy shit.
In the 80s?
What? This movie?
What?
This one?
What? Is that like 700 million nowadays or something? Like 300 in the 80s? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I needed to try to figure out what the fuck was going on here because this is absurd. So the one thing I was able to pull out was that this was the first movie to be released in more than 2,000 theaters across the U.S.
Okay.
So it had a huge release. And I don't know, man. I guess it was really popular, obviously. It went on to make an additional $34 million from VHS sales.
Wow. Was it the only movie to come out in 1985? Was that what people were just craving a movie?
I doubt it, but maybe they were craving murder. And death.
They're craving Stallone. They were like, this guy has something to him. Let's check him out.
Dean, if you were fucking loaded back in, maybe this probably came out in 86 on VHS, you would have had the opportunity to purchase it for $79.95.
Wow. I was a baby.
It's roughly $225 if you account for inflation.
Wow. Wow. Worth it, right? Worth it.
Fuck no.
Worth it. You should have got that for your new baby brother. You should have bought that for
him. Yeah. How far we've come. Now you can buy a Blu-ray on Amazon for like $15 now.
Yeah. Wow.
Not as amazing. Cool as a VHS, though. I will say that.
No, yeah. VHS. We're sounding old, but VHS, way cooler.
Now, it was written by... Do you know who this was written by?
I saw on the fucking screen, and I said, what? Yeah. Is this going to be amazing?
This is what I'm talking about with this movie. There's so many weird, like, it should be awesome, and it should be terrible, and it's a bit of both. But it was written by Sylvester Stallone and James Cameron.
The king of sequels, James Cameron himself.
Yeah. He was writing Aliens and Terminator at the same time that he wrote this.
Yeah. Wow.
It was directed by George Cosmatos, and he is the father of one of my current fave directors who I mention from time to time, Panos Cosmatos.
Right. Okay.
So Mandy.
Yeah.
The viewing from the Cabinet of Curiosities and then Beyond the Black Rainbow.
That's the one.
Yeah. Music. Damn, is this guy stalking us? It's Jerry Goldsmith.
What? Again?
Again. All right? He did the music for First Blood. He also did the music for Insurrection. He also did the music for Planet of the Apes. All right? All things we've recently covered. I would definitely say this was my least favorite of the bunch. This was very straightforward. I thought it was very bland. I really felt like you could have slapped this score into a number of different types of genre of movie, and it would have fit perfectly fine. coming off of Planet of the Apes, where he did such inventive stuff and really made you feel, he put you in an atmosphere. This was just kind of like, whatever. It worked, but it was not inspired, I didn't think.
I didn't realize there was music until the credits were rolling. And I was like, ooh, you know, music is happening now.
Oh, you know why you noticed that song?
Was it a killer song?
Well, I mean, that's up for interpretation. But it was sung by none other than Sylvester Stallone's brother, Frank Stallone.
Oh, hell yeah. So, the best, the great.
We all know what a great musical career he had.
Yeah, Frank's right? One of the best.
He did that. He did that song. What did he do?
He did a song. There's a song in like Rocky IV.
Didn't he do this?
He's good, Tim. He's good, Tim.
Never mind.
Also, in one of the Rocky movies, he's singing by one of the fire barrels. I think.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool.
I might have made that up in my head.
Cool.
But I think there's a fire barrel and he's at it. He's for sure at it. I think he's singing as well.
Wow. I like that. Now, this movie did very well at the Razzie Awards, Dean.
Fuck the Razzies.
Securing, I would only bring it up because of how well it did.
No, I know.
Right.
I know,
normally,
of course.
I keep the Razzies off this, but when a movie shows up and like hits a grand slam like Rocky IV did, I gotta say something. So it secured nominations for Worst Supporting Actress, Worst New Star, Worst Director, and it won for Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Original Song by Frank Stallone. And to carry on with this, what is this movie all about? Is it good or is it bad? It's also nominated for an Academy Award.
There you go.
What?
Both ends. It's nominated at both ends.
How? For most money earned? No, but it does sort of make sense. Best sound editing. It's for all those fucking explosions and the gunshots.
There's so
and
many.
The arrows
how can you not
piercing
get
into bodies and all that stuff. Yeah, it really.
You had to
really
make 2,000 unique explosion sounds. That's tough work.
Yeah, and you had to make jungle sounds too, right?
Of course, yeah.
So it was a good job. Now the movie starts out and John Rambo is exactly where we expect him to be, which is in prison after single-handedly terrorizing a small peaceful town that just happened to be run by a bunch of asshole cops.
Makes sense.
Yes. It tracks. The sequel tracks.
It tracks.
So far.
Yeah.
Now, he's been in prison for a couple years when Colonel Sam Troutman, he's back. He comes to offer Rambo a way out. Troutman wants John to help do some reconnaissance work in Vietnam. They need pictures taken of captured soldiers, and John is one of three people that the computers said would be able to complete the mission.
Right.
If successful, he might be given a pardon.
Great.
Why do they say might? Why is that the line?
Yeah.
There's no way he's agreeing to a might. I'd just be like,
no.
Dude, you can obviously give me a pardon if I do it.
Yeah.
This is a really small thing, but it really made me upset. I mean, just tell him he'll get a fucking pardon. Spoiler alert, he gets a fucking pardon, obviously. Why are you saying might?
I'm the same, Tim, because right before that, he asked him, like, you know, how are things going? Do you want out of there? And, like, Rambo's like, I like it in here
because
I know how things work. He's like, I don't know how they work out in the world. Yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. Do you want to come out in the world for something?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, he just said he likes it in here. I think he's fine.
Yeah. It was another weird exchange, too, because the guy's like, Troutman, he says, we need you to go to Vietnam and take some pictures, do the reconnaissance work, and you might get a pardon. And then Rambo says, what do you need me to do? And I'm like, he just fucking told you.
not a good listener.
I think Rambo's in his own head sometimes.
Yeah, but he's not always listening.
So Troutman kind of took like a different route of like telling him what was needed. We need you to get onto a helicopter
and come with
me to another country. And we're going to meet with somebody who's in charge over there. And then we'll tell you more. And he's like,
I'm in.
I guess so.
This is after he's taken...
Go ahead.
This is after he's taken 500 punches from Apollo Creed, I think.
So it's off to Nam. I mean, who could turn an offer like that down?
Who could, yeah.
But I did like how quick the getting out of prison process happened. Because I was quite certain we'd find him in prison. And I didn't want to go through a lot of bullshit there. I just kind of like wanted him out and into this new mission. And it all happened really quick. So I do appreciate that.
That's what I will give this movie. It's always moving. Like it gets to stuff really quickly. Like I'm at a point in the movie, like half an hour in, I think we're over halfway. You know, I think that we're almost done.
Oh yeah. I got that vibe too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like half an hour in. It's like, oh, we're moving. This thing just keeps going.
Yeah. I felt that exact thing. I'm like, the movie's leading up to ending right away.
Yeah. Right in like 5 minutes. And then I think I'm at the 30-minute mark.
Then they throw the big twist in there.
Yeah.
So we get a quick suit-up scene with Rambo. He gets a machine gun, a bow and arrow, his legendary knife, and a camera to take pictures with.
Great. Glad he got the camera.
Rambo hits the jungle and meets up with his contact, an Agent Bao. And she takes him to some locals who are willing to take them down the river to the camp. Under some nice cover of like river pirates. And once at that camp, he'll be able to take his pictures and return home and possibly be pardoned. Now, these are some really unsavory fellows, though, these river pirates. And you could tell Rambo was feeling like really uncomfortable in the situation, having previously been captured like in this area and tortured by men who are probably very similar to these guys.
Yeah.
First Blood had a lot of like traumatic PTSD flashbacks. This movie didn't do it, but I felt like they were trying to show you that without doing a dramatic flashback. Like they kept like flashing to his face and he kind of looked like intense about stuff.
And it's one of these reasons that this movie is so insane, like that it's possibly horrible and not just good and fun, because if you come off the first movie, he's so like PTSD, he's so traumatized. That's what the whole movie's about. You just throw him back into the mix.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And he goes back in there and he's just like, I'm going to fucking do it. Like, I'm going to kill this thing. That's just like, it's just a wild choice for a second movie. So me knowing that it's like supposed to be, you know, getting goofier, the franchise, I thought it was, you know, pretty funny that they did that. This is the way they turned it to go with the franchise. But like, what a swerve for movie one.
He's all over the place in this movie too. Like in prison, he's like, I like it here, but then he decides to leave. And then he's like, yeah, when he's talking with Agent Bao, he's like, yeah, I want to go back to America. And then a little bit later, he's talking to Troutman and he's like, fuck America. I'm not going back to America. And it ends with him like deciding just to wander off into the jungles of Vietnam. It's like, dude.
Yeah. He's all over the map.
What do you want out of life, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it changes moment to moment with him. He just goes with the wind, man. He's a free spirit.
Totally. And that's what just makes me chuckle, like, because you had James Cameron writing this thing. Like, usually he's good at adapting something from the first movie and like a real reason why we would come into the second. And it's just, nope, it's boom. Let's throw him back in the jungle.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, there was somebody else who wrote like an original story. Stallone and Cameron like adapted it into a screenplay. So they already sort of had their hands tied a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
So Rambo and Bao are on this boat. And Rambo is telling her about the war back home, the war on soldiers returning from the army, and how there's no support for them. Normally, I don't like these scenes, I thought this one was really good. I know that Bao is going to get killed in this movie. That's blatantly obvious as soon as they introduce her. But they did make me feel something for her, which I didn't think they'd be able to do. I met her and I'm like, that's the token girl, female character who's going to get killed, and Rambo's going to become enraged, and I'm not really going to care about her. But this was a really sweet moment on this boat as they're talking to each other and bonding and getting kind of deep with each other in a very short amount of time. So this is another scene I actually really, really liked.
I'm with you. I like this as well. I think there's some good moments. He asks her about her necklace, and she says she wears it because it brings her good luck. She says, do you have anything that brings you good luck? And he pulls out his giant knife, just like a great moment.
Yeah. He's like,
I guess this brings me good luck. Oh my goodness. It's just like, it's so sad, this man. His good luck charm is his giant knife. And then like when he talks about being expendable,
that was
great. She wants to know like what that means. It was so good. He's like, well, if you got invited to a party and you didn't go, like no one would care.
Right.
It's like, oh man, like, yeah, this guy's just feeling it. You know, he's just feeling that there's no love. There's no love back at home for like laying his life on the line. It's a really good scene.
Yeah. I loved that line about where he says, I'm expendable. She asks him like, why did they choose you? And he says, because I'm expendable. And I think that's very cool for the actual connection to the movies, The Expendables.
For like, sure.
He probably came up with the name from the movie from like this line.
I agree. Yeah. After hearing it, that's exactly what I thought.
I tried to investigate, you know, if there was anything on record about who came up with the name, but there wasn't. But I it must have been him saying.
Yeah. I mean, he probably wrote that line, right? If he's writing the script, he probably wrote most of his lines. So, you know, that idea came from his brain probably. So then to carry it on into like a movie franchise.
Yeah. So Rambo and Bao get to this camp they're trying to get to. It's supposed to be abandoned. It looks abandoned, but on closer inspection, it's not. We see some guys come out and greet a prostitute.
Yeah.
This was so funny. Did you hear what Bao called this girl?
No.
I had the closed captioning on, so I read it.
Okay, yeah, like, I missed it.
This is so fucking awesome. So it's a prostitute comes up on a scooter.
Yeah.
Right? And you can clearly tell she's a prostitute. The guys start, like, smacking her ass. And
the way they're treating her, for sure, yeah.
Exactly. So Bao calls her the cycler girl whore from the village.
Great. She's got a very particular title. Man.
Yeah, but it's such a strange one. It's so matter of fact.
Cycler. Yeah, exactly. She always arrives on her cycle.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Rambo, he doesn't care about his orders. I don't even think he brought the camera. And he moves very sneakily through the camp until he finds U.S. hostages hidden in a cage. He's able to free one of the men who was tied up outside the cage.
Yeah.
And he's trying to escape with this guy. And in the camp, he ends up getting a couple pretty good kills with his arrows before escaping with this POW and Bao. And they get back to the boat to try to escape. And this boat turns on them. What did you think about that village scene and this boat scene? If there's anything you want to.
Yeah, nothing in particular, just that this is where it's starting to ramp up. You know, this is getting us into some good Rambo stuff. He's got to be sneaky. He's got to infiltrate. He's got to free a prisoner and then get out of there with the prisoner. So, yeah, I just like it's starting to ramp up for me here. He's doing his thing. I'm starting to accept that this is just going to be a movie where he's going to do his thing in these ridiculous conditions. But I will say I did want to bring up that I think he doesn't have the camera because of the mishap of falling out of the plane. I think he cut it from himself at that point. So I think that's why he doesn't have it.
Okay. He probably staged that mishap just so he could cut the camera loose.
I think so, because I'm wondering what this mishap is about. And I was like, oh, he's not going to have any of his gear. Maybe that is it. Maybe he doesn't have any of his gear because he's got to, like, just find weapons there or, like, put together. Like, he got that arrow somewhere else, right? He doesn't have, like, his over-the-top extra gear stuff.
I think those are his arrows.
Okay, but he doesn't have, like, guns or anything, you know?
I'm not sure. I know he using his arrows because he didn't want to, like, raise any alarms.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, all I know is they made a big point of him cutting his gear, and they're like, oh, he's cutting loose his gear because he's just flying on the side of the plane because he's caught on the plane after he jumped out. And I think, so I thought they were trying to set up that he's going to have nothing.
Right.
You know, he's going to have no weapons at all, and he's going to have to figure it out. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But then he does start pulling out, like, some of his things later on, some of his weapons. So then I just didn't understand why they had the whole cut your gear scene.
I don't know.
So the camera, I guess, because
he definitely lost the camera in that exchange.
If he had the camera, he wasn't going to use it anyways. Like, you didn't have to get him to cut the camera loose. He wasn't going to use it. He was going to save the people.
It's like life or death out in that jungle. You think he's carrying around a giant, like, Sony SLR camera? Just like he's a fucking war footage photographer or something?
He is not.
That thing, can you just imagine trying to run with a giant camera around your neck? Like, that thing just smashing into your chest and then, like, swinging around to your back and, like, choking your neck and hitting your back. And you're like, I'm trying to survive out here.
If anyone could do it, though, it's John Rambo.
Well,
that's
I guess
the computer chose him.
Yeah, I guess
the only one who could run him around with the camera.
Well, one of three. The computer said one of three.
Sorry, one of three. What happened to the other two?
Well, I guess, what was Arnold doing in 85?
Yeah, exactly.
He was busy. And Van Damme.
Was he in the jungles fighting the Predator?
Arnie and Van Damme had other things going on.
Yeah.
So Troutman is en route to the camp with an extraction team. That was the deal, was Rambo was going to go there, take some pictures, radio back, and then Troutman would come in with the extraction team.
Yeah.
And he sees Rambo being hunted with the POW. And word gets back to this guy, Murdoch. And he's like the U.S. in charge of this mission in Vietnam. So, like, Troutman answers to him. Rambo answers to him. Word gets back that Rambo has freed a prisoner, and this Murdoch doesn't seem too happy about it.
Yeah.
And he recalls that extraction team. So Troutman is on the helicopter. He heavily objects, but Murdoch's men in the chopper pull a gun on Troutman, and they leave just before picking Rambo up, who then in turn gets immediately captured. So, you know, we've already picked up on this Murdoch vibe. He's clearly not on the level. There's something behind the scenes going on. Classic bad guy on the good guy's team here. Reminded me a lot of that Admiral from Insurrection. Just the guy on the bad guy's team doing the wrong thing, you know?
Totally. Yeah, definitely. And the interesting part is that John Rambo did kind of know about that, and not just in a way of like, oh, this guy gives me a bad vibe, but like Murdoch lied to him about serving in the war just to try to like appeal to him, and Rambo knew that, and so he had made a comment to Troutman that he lied about that and I don't trust him. So that was, you know, it was good to, even though we had the bad vibe from him already, it was good that they like let us know that, you know, Rambo also has that vibe.
Yeah, Rambo picked up on it really quick. Rambo is kind of the one in the movie who tips us off, the audience off about him being a bit shady.
Yeah.
So Rambo is captured, and I mean, this must have just been Rambo's worst nightmare come true, being captured again here.
Unbelievable.
In Vietnam. I can't even imagine what he'd be going through.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But this is sort of like the type of heart that I thought could have been injected into the movie if they made a little bit of a bigger deal about this. They don't really do anything with it. They kind of breeze over it. In fact, they kind of go the opposite route and show like how strong and capable he is of dealing with this situation. But like, where did that come from? The first movie was the complete opposite, but now all of a sudden he's this big tough guy. But I think if like, he kind of like was broken down a bit by this, you know, this torturing and being imprisoned again. I think that would have helped the movie kind of like gain some of that heart footing that I think it needed. But I understand that they're just not going for that at all in this movie.
Yeah, they're just going totally 80s action movie. The last movie had so much pain in it. And this movie, they're not even going to touch that. They're not going there.
So the Russians show up at the POW camp. And we're all thinking, what the hell are the Russians doing here?
That is what I was thinking, Tim. You got it right.
So basically, they don't really share very much with us. But we do see that the weapons the Viet Cong are using have Russian writing on them. So the Russians are supplying the Viet Cong with weapons.
Right.
So a pretty forced insertion of Russians into this movie.
Yeah.
So I like that they don't really get too much into why, because there is no why that I would really care about. Nothing they can tell me is really going to make sense of why the Russians are helping the Viet Cong out. But I did like the like raw America aspect of the Russians being the ones supplying the Viet Cong with weapons, because, you know, it's understood that the Vietnam War was sort of like maybe a misguided war. A lot of American soldiers died. A lot of, you know, innocents in Vietnam died as well.
Yeah.
What was that war all about? So maybe it was America's fault all along. I don't know if I like, but I think it's funny that this movie's like, it was the Russians' fault. We were only in there because they were supplying them with weapons, and that's why we went.
Yeah, Stallone's favorite thing to do is blame the Russians for something.
It was a very patriotic moment to like instill the Russians and make this about the Russians.
Yeah, I honestly thought they were that Rambo was going to solve the hatred that they were feeling towards Russia and just bring the world together at the end like he does in Rocky IV. But fortunately,
different type of movie.
Yeah.
So this Russian colonel, Colonel Podovsky, he takes an interest in Rambo right away. So they torture him. They force him into calling his superiors to tell them that he's been captured, he's going to be killed, and that they should not send any more men in. And Rambo says he's taking the torture. He's that tough. But as soon as they go after that other weak POW, that's when he cracks, right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we can't break through you, but if we hurt this guy, I bet you'll do what we want.
Yeah.
It looks like they've broken his will. Rambo makes the call. And the only reason he made the call was to tell Murdoch that he's coming for him. I love this.
Great.
This is such a good moment.
Yeah. I love this a lot. And like, Rambo had gone through like a lot of torture up to this point. He had leeches on him. Did not like to see
that
at one point. Yeah. That was uncomfortable. I know it was probably one of the more comfortable things that he had to probably go through, because some of the other things seemed more uncomfortable. But for me watching, that was the most uncomfortable, to see the leeches.
Sorry,
hit those.
Really quickly, knowing Stallone, those were probably real as well.
Actually, that's true. Yeah, they were probably real. That's a really good point, because when they were being peeled off, they did look like they were still holding on, and that they left some real blood marks behind. So they probably were real. But yeah, this moment was great. Yeah, I'll take the call. And he just rips in to Murdoch. Excellent stuff, man. It just gets him pumped. And, you know, I just got like, that's the thing. This movie wins me back a lot, where they got these like moments where I'm like, okay, yeah. This is fun. This is a fun movie.
Yeah. So it's fun, and it's interesting because Rambo gets this mission. He goes out to do the mission. He completes the mission. And that's when you and I think this movie's going to be ending.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this Murdoch guy turns on him, allows him to get captured at that camp. And now the second half of the movie is Rambo making his way from that camp back to Murdoch so he can kill Murdoch or get revenge on Murdoch, right? So it was really cool. It's just like his path is walk to the camp, to get the bad guys, learn who the real bad guy is, and walk back and get him.
And kill him.
kill everybody along the way. Blow along up as much way. Shit as you can along the way. And yeah, that'll be the movie.
Good. I like it.
I also like that, like, right after he calls Murdoch, like right after he hangs the phone up, he just escapes. Like, he could have escaped at any moment that he wanted to.
I know.
He just immediately breaks free.
I was thinking that. At one point, I was like, wait, how did he just do that? Why didn't he do that earlier? Is he just free? Like, is he not chained to anything? Because he just beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah. They had a really fun twist here, for me at least, because I'm really enjoying this cycler girl whore from the village. But right. Bao shows up to help as the cycler girl whore from the village.
Awesome.
This was great. And she helps Rambo get away because she's able to infiltrate, pretending to be one of these girls. And
really liked it.
Yeah, same. They're able to make it off into the jungle where they have another heart to heart. And she says, like, in return for saving his life, she wants him to take her back to America. And he's into it. He's like, yes, I'll do it. She kisses him. And she immediately gets gunned down violently.
No break. Like, now, they kiss, they're making out, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen. Cool. She stands up from making out with them and gets gunned down. She stands up. Dead. Gone.
I knew this was coming. I already mentioned it.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated how they surprised me with this moment. This was perfect timing. This was a very well-played, startling kill by this movie.
Yeah, listen, I was shocked and I felt sad. I didn't like it. When it was happening, I was mad at the movie because it shocked me and I didn't like it.
I felt awful.
I was
and
so
I
mad.
I was so mad at this movie.
Yeah.
I so badly wanted to see Rambo 3, John Rambo and Bao, like, living in, like, Minneapolis and just by, like, a small cabin near the lake.
Yeah.
And just enjoying life. But that's not what we got. But I, like, again, I'm saying I really liked it. It's just such a great, it's such a great moment. It caught me so off guard.
Yeah.
Not a lot caught me off guard in this movie, and this was a very, very excellent moment.
Yeah, it is a testament to how she can win you over, because
yeah,
we felt bad when it happened.
Yep, and I thought I was gonna hate her.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I was kind of already going in with, like, that attitude. Like, yeah. I'm just not gonna, like, I'm not even gonna try to like this character. And they were even able to turn me around from, like, that negative outset
right.
that I had.
Yeah.
So
right.
It was great. There was something about her. She had, like, beautiful eyes, too. She was very, like, a very captivating actress. So Rambo puts on her necklace and goes on a murderous rampage against the Russians and the Viet Cong soldiers. And this scene actually reminded me a lot of the forest scene in First Blood, where he's taking the men out, except this time he's killing them. And last time he was just trying to injure them, but very similar type of thing. Like, he's hiding in, like, all these weird places. You get this really cool scene where he's, like, in a wall of mud and kind of, like, he just opens his eyes and you're like, oh, there's a person in there. And then he emerges out of the mud and, like, stabs this guy.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, he catches someone in a trap and, like, drags them into a hole. He, like, pops out of the water to other people. Like, it's just this, like, montage of him doing all this crazy stuff. It's good stuff. It's the part that makes me think back to First Blood, for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't follow the action very well, though. It really seemed like random action sequences just all cut together, which it probably was. Like,
yeah.
He's hiding in the jungle being stealth, and then the next thing you know, he's in a village blowing up buildings, and then he's at a waterfall, and, like, I enjoyed the change of scenery. I think this movie would have been really dull if they didn't go to different locations like they're doing. But it would have been nice to see maybe that next location he's going to go to. Maybe we can see it off in the distance or something, just so we have a bit of like spatial awareness for the scene, or like at least provide us with maybe like an establishing shot of where he's going to next. It didn't feel like we were allowed to see him progress naturally through the environment. It was just like, now you're here, now you're here, now you're here. I mean, I'm probably asking for too much here, but I think just a simple thing like just showing the waterfall in a distance in a previous scene allows us to understand that he's now traveled this distance to that waterfall, and we have a bit of an idea of like where he's traveling to.
Yeah, I don't think you're being too picky. I had the same problem. I have no idea like the layout of anything. I have no idea as he's progressing where he is in that layout. And at times, I was like, I think we're indoors right now. Like, I think we're in a studio.
Yeah, I think you were
and
sometimes,
like,
yeah.
I think we were in a studio, like a studio forest sometimes. And so I think maybe just them trying to smash all that stuff together, you know, maybe they didn't get a good location that they could have just like, you could see a far back footage and then you could like come into it more. I don't know. Whatever it was with however they set up the shots, I felt all over the place. And just like you're saying in this scene, I felt that kind of every time we were in action, I felt all over the place.
Yeah. So a great kill on the Viet Cong general. Rambo just explodes him with a bomb arrow.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
fucking ruled.
The dude was disintegrated. I actually, it was the only scene in the movie I actually rewound because I had to see it again. It was so good.
Yeah.
And
like one of those things where you see him loading it, like he's already loaded these arrows and he's been shooting them and you're like, oh yeah, okay. And then he's loading it and aiming it at a person and you're like, okay, what's this going to be like? And then he shoots it into him. It's exactly what you think. It looks like it's an explosion from the inside. It's pieces of the guy's body flying. It's just exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah, and this is also like something I like out of bad guys in this type of movie when they get it really good at the end. You know, we haven't really talked about this guy, but he's in quite a few scenes. He's this greasy guy. He's got a Weasley face. The men brought the Cycler whore for him. That's who they brought her for. We don't like him very much. And we want him to go down hard. And when he does, it makes me feel really good about the movie.
Yeah. You save that kill. You save the I'm going to explode someone with an arrow kill for him. And that's great.
Exactly. Now Rambo gets into a helicopter and his already aggressive level of violence is amped way up. He's blowing up entire villages with with missiles.
It's wild.
He's gunning down dozens of men. He was a little bit too accurate with his shooting, though. It was just
incredible.
Like he's planting like six bullets in like a like a single guy's chest. He can just hit him six times from a helicopter.
He's in a helicopter.
Dude, that's very inaccurate, but.
The guy couldn't even jump out of a plane. He couldn't even jump out of a helicopter.
That's a good point.
But he can just accurately put six bullets into someone. Okay.
But he makes his way back to the U.S. men in the village. He frees them from the cage and loads them onto the chopper. And they head back to have a conversation with Murdoch about his behaviors.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's
good
been
behaviors.
Acting inappropriately.
Of course, that's very true.
But first, the Russian leader Podovsky comes out in the most badass chopper. This
Heck
thing
yeah.
had guns coming out of everywhere.
Yeah,
this would have made an incredibly cool toy.
Yeah.
I would buy this right now. I'd buy this without a question. It's such a cool chopper.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking when it came out. As soon as it came like around the corner, whatever it did, and you saw it for the first time, I was like, I would have wanted that toy immediately. Like,
ooh,
I want that toy.
It's so cool. It's just so gunned up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What did you think of this? of this scene with you've got Rambo in his puny chopper,
yeah,
with the POWs, and you've got Podovsky.
Yeah.
And the super chopper.
I mean, the super chopper should have taken them down immediately. It should have at least hit some guys out of the chopper. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like we're getting at this point. I'm like, we can start winding the movie up right now. Like, I don't really need this chopper fight. Like, he already
totally.
Honestly, he blew a guy up with an arrow, and I was like, roll credits. He did it. He wins. So I was ready for it to kind of end. So I wasn't really. I don't know. I'm not too into the chopper fight.
I had forgotten about Podovsky, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I just,
for sure.
Like, maybe he already got killed and I just missed it, or I don't know, but...
No, you're right. Like, that's what I meant when I was kind of confused all the time. When it came around, like, when it came in, that chopper came around, I was like, wait, who is left? Like, what is... Who are they? Who's those people? Oh, right. The Russians are here. Okay. Why do they care so much? Like, whatever.
It's the Italians. The Italians have shown up.
Oh, they're
up.
Coming
they're
as well.
Also on the Viet Cong
okay,
side.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like when you get into a situation with shitty chopper versus super chopper, it's not a question.
No.
It's super chopper is going to win 100% of the time.
It doesn't matter that John Rambo is flying the other. That doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. That's not enough to make your shitty chopper win, because this other one is just going to gun you down.
Yeah.
You don't have any defense. I'm kind of not all that interested in this scene. And then the way it goes down is that Podovsky thinks he blew them up, even though he clearly just shot in front of them and made a big explosion.
Yeah.
And then he can't find them in the smoke. And then he's flying around a little bit. He sees them. They haven't crashed. They've just landed in a stream.
Yeah.
And he pulls his chopper right up to them. And Rambo is doing a great job of pretending to be dead. He's just like sitting in his seat with his head to his side and his eyes closed. And like, I get it. He's doing the old, oh, we're all dead already, but we're going to surprise you. But hey, what if Podovsky just decided to land a finishing blow into your chopper from distance or up close when he realized you like, your body wasn't incinerated. Maybe he starts unloading into you again. There's so many things that could have gone wrong here for you to think that you pretending to be dead would be enough to fool him and give you the opportunity to pull a bazooka out and shoot it through a small hole in your windshield and blow his chopper up. It was very cinematic, but it was another thing in this movie where I'm like, I don't want that, really. I don't really need that. I would have preferred if he blew up that Viet Cong guy and Podovsky at the same time with a bomb arrow. That would have been way better. I mean, the chopper was cool. I liked seeing it, but they didn't execute this very well.
Tim, I just finished watching this for the second time, and I totally forgot about that. I had blanked out that he plays dead. I forgot that he lands the chopper. And so they shoot in front of him. There's a big explosion. He's like, okay, everybody, here's the plan. We're going to land right now. And we're all going to play dead. Make sure you're all playing dead. They land the chopper perfectly fine. And they all pretend that they're, you know, this is the classic pretend that you're sleeping when mom wants you to do chores.
Like, exactly.
They're just like, oh no, we're dead. We're just lying here. You're right. Just hit him again. You know, just like send in another missile. Just boom, done. Make sure.
And he would. As soon as he sees that the chopper has landed, he would fire another missile into it and blow it up.
It has not crashed, right? It has just landed.
It landed.
Yeah, it landed and they're all sleeping in there. Let's fire another one.
Obvious. If I pulled up to that and I saw them pretending to be dead,
boom. Nice try, Rambo.
I'll tell you what, though. As a kid, I would have loved the shit out of this moment.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, me and my friends would have been up off the couch, cheering. What a great move this was. So I think by saying that, it probably does suit the movie very well.
Yeah, classic playing possum right there.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm hoping Murdoch comes out with an even better chopper to try to get Rambo.
Definitely,
I'm like, if we're going to do this chopper stuff, let's go even further.
Yeah.
That unfortunately didn't happen.
It, no.
But Rambo lands his chopper back at Murdoch's base. He pulls a machine gun off the side of the chopper and goes after Murdoch. That was great.
Yeah.
He blows the shit out of Murdoch's command center, all these computers that decided he was the one who should go.
Down with computers. You know what? In my day, I thought your mind was your number one weapon or whatever he says.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Or what is he? Because the computer is the number one advantage or tool, or I don't know. They say something about the computer, and he's like, oh, back in my day, it was your mind.
Yeah, he blows it up, and he's screaming, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, he's letting his anger out.
I guess he's now he's like, letting it out, yeah.
He's like, this was such a shitty, fucked up mission. This sucked. This mission sucked. I should have stayed in prison. I might not even get a pardon. After all this, I might not even get a pardon.
I probably won't because I'm shooting up the guy's office, who's probably the one in charge of requesting one for me.
I screwed everything up. The woman I fell in love with is dead.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So are 300 other people, random people.
Yeah.
Well, he finds Murdoch. He pulls his knife out. He grabs Murdoch, throws him down on the table, slams his knife down, but not into Murdoch, just beside him in the table. And Rambo says that there's more men out there, more POWs. Murdoch knows where. Murdoch better find them or Rambo will come back and get Murdoch. Then in the ending sequence here, Troutman asks Rambo where he's going. He says he doesn't know. Troutman asks him to go back with him. Rambo says his friends died here in Vietnam. Part of him died as well. Troutman asks him what he wants. And he says he wants what the POWs want. He wants the country to love them as much as they love the country. He says he's going to live day by day. And he walks off into a field and the end. So what do you think of this ending here?
I think we mentioned before, he's really going for it here. He's finally, you're feeling the end of First Blood. I mean, you're not, but like, that's what they're trying. He's really trying to lay it on here. I can tell in the moment that he is like a good actor. This is something I always appreciate about Stallone. He can really give it. He's got these sad eyes. He's really putting everything into it. But it just doesn't hit in this movie at all. So no matter how much he lays it on the line here, it's just like, it definitely doesn't have the impact of the first movie. And after this like goofy action movie, you're like, okay, whatever, man. And then he just walks off. So it's fine. It's a fine ending, but like, just keep it. If you're going to have this action goofy movie, just keep it goofy at the end. Don't get all serious.
Totally. Definitely didn't fit. Like the entire movie, I was waiting for the heart of the entire movie. And then by the end, I finally realized we weren't going to get it. And then they tried to throw it in my face. And I'm like, no, you didn't earn that.
No.
It's also like, wasn't quite done as well. Even his rant wasn't nearly as good as the first one.
No.
And this rant was about, it wasn't even about anything as like powerful as the first rant. The first rant was very, very powerful, very true.
And real.
This was kind of like, this was kind of like, I get it, you know, the country's not treating the people who come home from war very well, but this did not hit at all. So,
no.
I don't know.
The first movie feels like a broken man delivering this speech. This movie feels like an actor giving a good speech, you know, like an actor doing a good job at a written speech. That's just what it feels like.
Exactly. Yeah, great point. Yeah. Okay. So I still don't really know how to feel about that movie, but I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too. I think I'll probably watch it again in my life because I thought it was kind of fun. So it feels good to like throw on a fun action movie sometimes. So I'll revisit it, but not anytime soon. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, cool. I don't think I'll watch this again, but you never know. All right. Well, everybody listening, thanks for tuning in. We would appreciate if you could support us here at Talking Back. You can do that in very simple ways, just like telling a friend about an episode. You can head on over to your podcast app and you can like or subscribe to our podcast. You can check us out on Buy Me a Coffee. You can sign up on Patreon. Oh, this is a magical relationship on Patreon where you throw us a few bucks every month and you get exclusive content that nobody else gets. You can also check us out on YouTube. We have a channel over there called Demo Dash, where we play video game demos from the Nintendo store, and we try to beat them in 20 minutes. And now that this episode's over, don't worry. Head on over to bfopnetwork.com. Check out one of the other amazing nostalgia-based podcasts in our network. We promise you'll find something you like. All right. Now, as we've been doing all month long, we are spoiling something here at the end for anybody out there who's still listening. Next week, we are going to be covering something I've already mentioned in this episode, and it is going to be us dipping our toe into the works of Panos Cosmatos. We're going to be doing The Viewing, which is one of the episodes from Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. It's available on Netflix. It's episode 7. Check it out. That's what's coming your way next week. Dean, thank you for joining.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Hello, everybody. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
And every week, we are giving you a blast from our past.
We are the podcast that brings you full-on movie breakdowns, TV show reviews, album reviews, top tens, and more, all from the things of our nostalgic past.
So please join us every single week on the Blast From Our Past podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. However you listen to podcasts, you can find us, and we would love to have you take a trip with us to the land of nostalgia.